This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Fred Wertheimer has helped lead the fight to reform campaign financing, strengthen congressional ethics rules, and rein in special interest groups. After 14 years as president of Common Cause, the nonpartisan citizens' lobby group, he recently stepped down to make way for a new president. He had worked for Common Cause for 24 years. ABC World News Tonight described him as Washington's most visible and arguably most powerful ethics watchdog. The New York Times said he worked to expose the incestuous ties between lawmakers and special interests, and there were countless occasions during his tenure as president when Wertheimer might have been voted the least popular lobbyist on Capitol Hill. Earlier today, I asked Fred Wertheimer, what is the one aspect of lobbying he'd most like to reform?
Well, it would be a dramatic reform of the way in which we finance our campaigns. In its simplest terms, if our elected officials could run for office competitively, in competitive races, without being dependent on people to put up a lot of money, then at least we would have our best chance at getting what democracy is about, which is our best shot at the best views of those we elect to represent us. We're never going to get representatives who agree with everything each of us think as individuals, but we're supposed to get people who are giving us our best judgment, and they can't do that when they're obligated to people putting up a lot of money. I think it would help a lot to deal with the cynicism, the alienation, and the lack of confidence in this country in the honesty and the straightness of this political system.
Campaign finance reform, this is something you've worked on for many years. Do you think things have changed for the better?
Well, they did for a while. Certainly the creation of the presidential campaign finance system after Watergate was a tremendous advance. It has worked well. But then the parties came along and they figured out a way to evade that system, and they have blocked legislation to correct the problems. So if we look at it today, we have a very, very dramatic fundamental problem in the way campaigns are financed for Congress. And we have a big problem with the presidential system that can be fixed and should be fixed by closing down the loopholes. Instead, the Republicans just proposed to do away with the presidential campaign finance system that came out of Watergate.
When you talk about loopholes, you're talking about soft money?
I'm talking about the system, the soft money system, that is really an excuse for huge illegal contributions from corporations, wealthy individuals, labor unions to come in the back door through the political parties to be back in the presidential elections.
Let me ask you to explain what soft money means.
Well, it's a very non-threatening term, soft money. I wish we had better words to describe it. Corporation cannot give a penny in contributions to influence a federal election under a provision that's existed since 1907. An individual have contribution limits. They can only give $1,000 to a candidate in a primary of a presidential election, and the full election is publicly financed. What happens is, instead of giving the money to the candidates because it's illegal, the individual or the corporation or the labor union will give $100,000 to the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, and then they will go out and spend it to benefit the candidates. So it becomes kind of a laundering process. And we have literally had tens and tens of millions of dollars from corporate America going to both the Democratic and the Republican Party in recent years, buying enormous influence in this town, all in the guise of, quote, soft money.
I know you would like to see caps on campaign financing. How do you think that would change politics in America?
Well, I think if we could control the money, we could and both cap the system and get some clean resources into it, like free TV or free mailings or matching funds financed by the public for small contributions. I think you could do three things. We could have much more competitive elections for Congress than we have now. We could greatly reduce the ability of lobbyists and interest groups to buy influence over congressional decisions. And I think we could help begin restoring public confidence that citizens are getting a fair deal in Washington. Obviously, you can't cure everything with campaign finance reform. But if we could reform the system, I think we could get back closer to the notions of our democracy than we have today.
Fred Wertheimer is my guest, and he recently stepped down after 14 years as the president of Common Cause. Let's take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back with Fred Wertheimer. He recently stepped down after 14 years as president of Common Cause. Common Cause is a citizens' lobby which lobbies for campaign finance reform and around issues pertaining to the ethics of legislators and special interest groups. The Senate is beginning work on examining the legislation that the House passed as part of the Contract with America. What are the lobbies for us to keep our eyes on as the Senate discusses the contract?
Well, I think you'd be safe watching every lobby in the country. Everything is at stake in this budget. There are all kinds of questions for corporations. There are tax questions for corporations. There are subsidy programs. There are the agriculture. The entire agriculture system is going to be up. There are questions, obviously, for senior citizens. Labor unions have large stake. All of the lobbies have very large stakes. And one of the questions is going to be who wins and who loses in this battleground. And here again, I believe that if the Republicans do not act to clean up the system at the same time that they're making these decisions, and if in fact they wind up tilting their decisions to the lobbies that provide huge sums of money for them, they're going to run into a lot of credibility problems down the road.
The NRA has been in the news a lot lately since the bombing of Oklahoma City. President Bush just resigned from the NRA because of a letter that he thought was very inflammatory that talked about federal agents as, you know, jackbooted, comparing them to Nazis. It's been said that the NRA has moved to the right, and some people have resigned in protest from the NRA because of that. Do you think that the lobbying techniques of the NRA have been changing?
Well, it's not just the lobbying techniques of the NRA. I don't know that they've moved to the right, but they've certainly become, it certainly appears they've become much harsher in their rhetoric. But, you know, this is a problem for our whole political system. Our campaigns are very negative and nasty. Our elected officials come to Washington. They seem to be running for office every day, round the clock. The battles are very harsh and negative. The polarization that has taken place in our politics is very widespread, and it's a problem for all of us. And I think what the NRA example has done is it's one of those moments that has captured for the country in a very stark way a very deep problem we have. The media plays its role because it's the messenger, and it tends to be attracted to the confrontational battleground messages. Now, people could say that about Common Cause or about some of the things and arguments I've made over the years, and I'm sure they would. All of us, I think, have to take a step back and see where we've come, because the harshness and the negative nature of our politics is turning off the whole country.
There is a lot of cynicism about American politics. Among extremists, that cynicism has hardened into hatred, people who are almost ready to arm themselves to oppose, to fight the government. Your job is to monitor government and to reform corrupting aspects of politics. Do you think of yourself as being cynical about American government?
I am not cynical. I happen to have optimistic genes in my body. But I'm not cynical. I don't think people should be cynical. I think if we work to make our democracy work, it will work. And I think people have to get in and be part of it. I think the hatred that has come to the table has to be publicly challenged and forcefully challenged. And I think what President Bush recently did in challenging that kind of hatred and the kind of language that was used was
in his letter to the NRA,
in his letter to the NRA, was enormously beneficial. You know, there's so much out there in the way of ideas and issues, etc., that it's very hard to capture the public's attentions. But every now and then you have defining moments that you can build off of. And I think what's happened recently, what President Bush's letter captured, is a call to all of us to recognize that that we can't accept the kind of hatred, we can't accept the kind of attacks without challenging them. Now, you challenge them in the political arena, you challenge them in the debate, you challenge them in elections, and we have to do that. The cynicism is too great in this country.
You came to Washington, D.C. first to work as an aide to a Republican congressman.
Yes.
From Massachusetts. Did you plan to go into politics at the time?
No, I didn't. I was simply kind of stumbling along one step at a time. I had worked for the Securities and Exchange Commission. I always wanted to work on Capitol Hill. I was always fascinated with Congress. And I simply wrote up there, kept writing letters, and this congressman needed someone, and up there I went for 4 years.
What turned you into a watchdog?
Well, I just stumbled along. Not exactly, but after I left Capitol Hill, I took some time, as I'm doing now, because I wanted to find something I would enjoy doing. And Common Cause was just being created, and it was an organization that was going to work to make government work, to make democracy work, and that just appealed to me. So I went over there and got hired as a lobbyist, and I thought I'd stay for about 2 years and move to my next job. And I did move to my next job, but it was 24 years later, not 2 years later. When I first got there, I was given two issues to work on. Legislation to end the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and legislation to reform the campaign finance system. So I stopped working on the first one in the mid-1970s and wound up working on the campaign finance reform issue for 25 years. And whatever I wind up doing, I'm going to continue working on that issue until the battle is won.
You're making something of a career change. You're going to be staying basically in the same line of work. But, you've stepped down from the presidency of Common Cause. There's change in the works, and you're trying to figure out what next. So what do you do in the meantime? How are you spending your days? How are you filling your time? And what's your process for figuring out what to do next?
Well, I'm trying to think through some of the issues that I've talked about, the question of the role.
But how do you spend your day?
How do I spend my day?
You wake up, you have a full day ahead. You don't have appointments you have to get to,
no,
an office?
I have some office space.
Mm-hmm.
I have office space. I'm having a very hard time breaking my body from the habit of getting up in the morning and going immediately into this office space. In fact, I haven't broken the habit yet. I hope to. So I go into the office. I am a habitual newspaper reader, so I do that. I have been helping out on some projects. I worked in the effort against the constitutional amendment for a balanced budget because I don't believe the Constitution is the place to work this process out. I've worked on some projects. I am doing some reading. Dealing with my total incapacity to use the computer. I am learning how to use the computer. Through that, trying to think my way through the various kinds of projects I could work on. So I type very slowly on my computer. So that takes up more of the day. So I am very, very confident that I am going to find and be able to create an opportunity to go out and be involved at really what I think is one of the most extraordinary times in this country's recent history. This is the most important debate about our society and the role of government in 60 years, and it's going to go on for the next 3 or 4 or 10 years, and I want to be part of it, and I know I'm going to find some way to do that.
Fred Wertheimer is the former president of the citizens' lobby group Common Cause. This is Fresh Air.